What do we need to be refreshed? That's what we're thinking about tonight on Steadfast as we wrap up a series on Proverbs 25 that we've been in all summer. Welcome to Steadfast. I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad that we get to study God's Word together tonight. What do we need to be refreshed? Well, you might say, right now, I'd like to be where you are, Tim. I'd like to be in the pool. Maybe you went to your local pool and it was open today and you went for a swim if you had the opportunity. Maybe you went there and now that school was starting back up, it was closed. I know some of the pools are closing. So maybe that was the case. Probably not quite as strongly the answer today, though, because it's not too bad out here. It's nice enough to be in the pool, but it's definitely cooling down. We can see the end of summer coming. So there have been days where I cheated a little and went ahead and shared the message from a swimming pool so that I could get a little time in the pool and share a message with you because it was really, really hot and I wanted to be refreshed by that water. And we come to days where maybe what you're looking for refreshment is a nap. Maybe you're just exhausted. I think everyone I've been talking to is just tired right now. Maybe that's the case. Sometimes it's what we're hearing as opposed to what we need to do. Maybe you're just tired of all the bad news. It feels like we're constantly surrounded by bad news, and what you're really looking for is to splash into a pool of good news. And that's really where the Proverbs take us tonight. We are surrounded by bad news. It's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's on social media constantly. And to an extent, we're drawn to it. We can't resist, sort of like with it being relatively warm today, but not super warm, but the rest of the week being cold, and who knows if there's any more swimming weather this year. Well, I can't resist being here with you in this pool today because the water, I just couldn't resist it. And a lot of times when we're dealing with bad news, even when we feel emotionally overwhelmed, we can't take anymore, we're still drawn to it. We just can't resist. We think, I have to know. Maybe the cool weather is coming tomorrow and I need to know what's going to happen. So we jump into the bad news. But it does take a toll. Well, we can't change the world, right? We can't get rid of all the bad news, but we can think about what is our role in that? What does it mean to be in a world where we're often craving the refreshment of a cool pool of good news? And how do we help contribute to that to other people? Because the thing that we know is that everyone is in that boat with us. We're not alone in that. If you're feeling overwhelmed tonight by the world and the state of the world, you're not alone in that. Well, let's go ahead and come to God's Word. Ask for Him to help as we pray to Him tonight, that He would help us to understand His Word, that we can be those who bring the refreshment of cool water to people who are dying of thirst. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to study your Word. Lord, would you help us to dig into it and not just store up some things intellectually as we wrap up Proverbs 25, but Lord, as we think about what's in the text tonight and as we think about these past weeks over the last few months that we've been going through Proverbs 25, that you'd help us to be people who refresh those around us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Are you thirsty for good news? I think we all are, and that's exactly what we see in verse 25 of Proverbs 25. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. What's being referred to? Well, nowadays we can know news from a far country instantaneously, right? You go on a service like X, and I can read about what's going on anywhere in the world, oftentimes before anyone can even write a news report on it, because someone's tweeting it out and talking about what's happening. It's so fast, we don't even really know how to handle it. It's just there, and it's present. And just like my Cicada friends are singing away right now, and you can hear their presence with us. So too, all year long, every moment of the day, the news is present around us. If we're not directly consuming it, we're probably talking to someone who says, well, I just heard this. And so we are constantly absorbing it. But in the ancient world, it wasn't that way. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have television or radio. They didn't even have a telegram. And so how did you get news? Well, you sent a person who had a message that they would relay. And so it took time. Maybe you take several messengers. Maybe they do a relay. Maybe you send several in case one of them was killed on the way. Someone wanted to prevent the message from going through. They didn't have the message right away. And so, for example, if you're a king, and that's where we started Proverbs 25, you might be waiting for news from the front of the battle. You're directing different troops, and you're waiting to hear, has this part succeeded? We see that a number of times in Scripture. There are all kinds of reasons you might be waiting for news, whether you were a king or a common person, but you would have to wait. Most of us can probably think back to at least when, oftentimes, especially if it's something more detailed, maybe a long document of some sort, we have to wait for days, maybe weeks, for it to be mailed to us and to arrive, and then you'd read it. So we can kind of at least remember what it was like to an extent, but even more extreme. So yes, if that messenger comes, and not only that messenger comes, but that messenger comes with good news, how good it is. It's so exciting to have it. But while we can get news today quickly, we can communicate with each other quickly. One of the wonderful things as a church, we're constantly talking to our extended family, as it were, our missionary friends who are doing wonderful work around the world. We have Prakash in India. We have, of course, JGM and Pastor Tyrus in Kenya. We have Tony, who's sharing in Asia. I don't want to say precisely where, but we have all these wonderful sorts of opportunities to hear exactly what's going on all around the world and hear right away. We can talk to people in real time. So we have immediacy, but that doesn't change the fact that we need good news. And so often, no matter whom it is that we're hearing from, it feels like we just hear bad news. We get overwhelmed. And so the starting point here is how refreshing it is when we hear something good. We yearn for something good. News was hard to get then, but good news remains hard to get. And you think about it. In the Old Testament, we see over and over again. For example, we have multiple occasions where someone wanted to communicate with King David to bring news, and the messenger thought, if I just bring David news, it was, for example, the death of King Saul, and then later the death of David's son Absalom, who was in rebellion to David. David's going to be glad because he has news. But David wasn't glad. Why wasn't he glad? Because it wasn't good news. He didn't rejoice in the death of Saul. He didn't rejoice in the death of Absalom. He mourned them. And so even though he got the news, it wasn't enough. He wanted good news. And so too for us. We can get bombarded by news. We can have it rapidly. But how much better is it when, for example, with that immediacy of communication, we get to hear an update from someone in our church family or something happening on the mission front, and we hear that and it's good news. How exciting is it when we get to share good news? That was what was so great last week when we had our first baptisms at Little Hills and we had new members join, and it was just a moment of good news. We all need that, don't we? And it's amazing, as I talked to some of you in the days afterwards and we were reflecting back onto that Sunday, how everyone just seemed to have a little extra spring in our voices because it had been so good. We're yearning for good. And so this is really saying what we know, and yet, isn't it funny? Then we go right back to that bad news, and we relay bad news, and we get focused on bad news. I get focused on bad news. How can I instead help people have good news? Well, certainly, and we're going to think more about this as we go along in this passage, but certainly where it starts and where it ends is that God gives us good news. And so we should be a people who always have something good to say. Not that we pretend bad isn't, we pretend the bad isn't happening, or we explain away the bad. But we are people of good news even when we're surrounded by bad news. And in fact, if we really think about it, that good news is even better in light of how bad things often are. Because if everything were good here on earth, if everything were going smoothly, how much do we really need the gospel? How much do we really need what God does? But when we recognize this world is broken and hurting, and we're broken and hurting, and we know that God cares, we keep coming back to that again and again and again in Scripture. You might say sometimes, why do we need to keep talking about the gospel? Why do we talk about the same thing over and over again as Christians? Because we need to hear the good news over and over again. We quickly are dulled by all the bad news pounding at us. Not enough simply to have news. We need good news. Sort of like, I've known several people who have had to drill a well on their property. They live outside of the area where you have municipal water or some other kind of water service, and so you drill a well. And the drilling company, they drill down, they bore into the water table, and now you have water. But is that enough? For example, my grandparents in Indiana, when they built their house and put a well in, they got access to water, but you didn't want to drink that water because it was incredibly sulfur-laden. And you just turned on the water to wash your hands or whatever. You could smell the water. That wasn't what you wanted. And I know several people, them included, where there was a great appeal to getting bottled water because that water isn't good. So, yes, it's a blessing to have that water. The people that have a well that produces less than pleasant water still make use of that water in various parts of living, washing clothes or whatever. Well, sure, but it isn't really what you want, right? You want to tap into the water table in a place where you get the water that's just cold and delicious and isn't going to make you turn up your nose. That's what we want, not always what we get. That's our world today and what everything we're being bombarded by. So often we think, well, it's so great. I can hear everything. I can know everything that's going on. But we're at the same time being poisoned by all the toxic heavy metals and such that are in that fountain of news. And so, again, we know this intuitively, and yet we keep forgetting it. And I think that's why Scripture says this. Of course we want good news, but we really need it. Now, here's the thing, though. Imagine if I knew someone who had a pump put in, and it was bringing up water, and that water had been found to have toxic chemicals in it. Maybe it's downstream from an old munitions plant. It's going to kill you if you drink it. And you could smell that it was going to kill you. And I said, aha, I know what I need to do. I just need to get clothespins for everybody so no one can smell how bad the water is. And that way we'll drink it and we'll be fine. We won't know how bad it is. Well, that wouldn't be a good idea. It would still be toxic even if I didn't realize it. And that's the second of these two proverbs that we're looking at, what it's dealing with, I believe. If we look at verse 26, it says, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. You see, we're not just thirsty for cold water, the cold water of good news. We're also thirsty for integrity. And I think while at first it might seem like these are two different topics, the fact that there's a water metaphor going through both of them, I think it's supposed to clue us into, no, there's actually a connection between the two. God wants us to see how good news and integrity go together. Now, there's a couple of possibilities of what this proverb has in view. I don't think I can necessarily solve that for us tonight because great minds have debated over what it is that is in view here. There could be the possibility that what's in view is that you have the wickedness of the world, the bad news of the world, take out a righteous person, right? The person's removed from the position that he or she is in. And that certainly is something that leaves us craving for a situation where people of integrity can stay in place and do what they're called to do. The other possibility is that we're actually seeing someone who was righteous, who ends up being corrupted, maybe to stay in positions of power. He or she makes deals, makes compromises that aren't pleasing to God. Not just how can we find consensus to get things to a better place, we talked about that a few weeks ago, but rather, where to keep my power, I'll go ahead and do things that are unrighteous because I want to stay here. You see that a lot too. Maybe it has something of both in view, because what we can take away in both cases is that what's refreshing, what's needed, is the refreshment of integrity. Because notice what happens here when we're talking about a polluted spring of water. Well, if you have a spring of water, maybe you've drilled that well, and that well is pulling out great water, but someone goes in and dumps arsenic in it. Well, now you've taken something that's wonderful and you made it unusable, right? That's gone from refreshment to, well, maybe it's still refreshing, but it's going to kill you. Sometimes that's what we run into with our leaders. We know a leader who has integrity, and we support that leader, and that leader is accomplishing things that seem cool and refreshing, seem like good news. But meanwhile, those plans start to get corrupted with unfortunate compromises displeasing the God, and we don't even see it because we're still just trying to imbibe that cool refreshment. But now we're drinking of a fountain of poison, of muddied water, of water that will actually harm us rather than do us good. Is that what's in view here? I think so. It's right smack dab in the middle of integrity. And so, whether you're in a position of authority or not, all of us do have opportunities to live with integrity. And as we think about other people needing good news, it certainly reminds us it's not enough to tell someone something that's going to make them feel good at the moment. We really should seek to be people who are telling them things that are true and good. Because if we tell them falsehoods that are good, we might take away a fear or might comfort them in the moment, but then when it comes out that it's not true, well, then it's far worse than where they were to begin with. Maybe they proceed in a direction that's not helpful because they thought there was something coming together that wasn't. Maybe they just realized that what had been intended as comfort wasn't true, and now they, even if you try to comfort them, they don't necessarily know that they can trust the comfort they're receiving. Whatever the case may be, we see that integrity is absolutely essential if we want to refresh people. If in all the noise of life, if it's a beautiful noise, and for myself, I know people have different opinions. I'm really enjoying right now, I have to say, as we're going through studying these verses from Proverbs, I'm enjoying so much the cicada singing back there behind me. I know some of you just, you can't stand it. It's just too much noise. I'm really, really enjoying it. But if you're not enjoying it, well, that's going to be degrading to you, right? And you need relief. And it doesn't matter if they're joyful. It's not serving you. If, on the other hand, you turn a pressure washer on behind me, well, that might be refreshing to my neighbor because he's getting his house clean or whatever the case may be, but it would not be refreshing to me. Good news that appears refreshing but is lacking integrity, that's ultimately not going to be refreshing to anybody. So we need to actually care about integrity. I'm reminded of this oftentimes. I know some of you know this, and I'm an admitted political junkie. I try to avoid making direct political points in anything I do publicly because I don't want to endorse candidates or parties or anything like that. I don't think I should. I want to just speak the gospel. But I love consuming political news. I read all kinds of political news every day online, especially in election seasons. I'll turn on cable news. And yes, I know it's cable news is so unhealthy for all of us. I can't resist. It's, again, one of those things I just can't resist. I jump in. Has a lot of that bad news, right? But I also just deeply enjoy the process of politics. But one thing that I think is really interesting, if you actually see a candidate come on, or a surrogate for a candidate come on, and that candidate's been accused of some new falsehood, or changing positions, and we see this on both sides of the aisle all the time, you just have to tune into whichever network doesn't like the person, right? And that way they'll grill the surrogate. And so you hear, well, Mr. Smith said such and such, but now documents have revealed that Mr. Smith was actually doing the exact opposite the whole time. What do you have to say for yourself? Well, what do the surrogates for the candidate, or the candidate, him or herself, do? Well, it's not really that way. And they try to explain away the whole thing. Why? Because they know that people don't just want to hear what they want to hear. They want to know that it's true. And so they're going to try to explain it away. And a lot of times it's really flimsy, but we so yearn for that good news that if we can even get the hint that it's possibly true, even though it seems blatantly false, we'll try to believe it so that we can edge towards what we really want. We want to hear good news. However, what happens when we do that? Well, we're really chipping away at our own integrity. Then we get mad at someone at the office or at school or at home because that person's spouting off this nonsense from somebody because they want to believe it so much. Or we're spouting off and someone's getting upset at us and starts to chip away at our Christian witness. So often in our present highly political culture, there are cases where I see Christians who are fighting tooth and nail for different candidates and causes politically. And there's times where it's blatantly, objectively untrue, and yet still fighting for it because there's that glimmer of good news, and we want that. So we chase after it. But as we give up our integrity for it, what are we doing? We're chipping away at the good news that we really do have to share. And the good news that when we see that our candidate is lying yet again, and if you're trying to peer into my eyes and say, who is Tim referring to here? You're not going to succeed because I'm referring to everybody. Anyone on the national stage right now, they're all lying to us. They're lying to us a lot. So it doesn't matter which side you're on. They're lying. So when we're busy defending them, though, we're defending that at the risk of chipping away at our integrity and our Christian witness, because we have one thing we can always communicate to people. There's one thing we can always carry forward to people that isn't a lie, that isn't breaking our integrity. And not everyone's going to want to hear that good news, but it is the good news, the true good news. And over again, Scripture tells us that is the good news that we should be anxious to relay to people. People need good news they can trust, and there's one bit of good news they can always trust, and that's God's good news. For example, if we think of Isaiah 52:7, Romans 10, Paul's citing back to Isaiah 52. What do we read? Blessed are the feet that bring good news. What's that good news as Paul speaks further on it in Romans? It's good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died for us and that if we confess him as Lord, we will be saved. Friends, there's no good news we're ever going to hear on cable news that's better than that. And yet how often do we just go on and we figure out which channel is going to say the sorts of things that we like to hear that agree with us? And if we really are pushed to admit it, we know that they're saying the things we want to hear rather than what's really going on. They're all doing that. And yet we do it again because we want to hear some good news. Let's instead turn to the real good news, because that's the only thing that's actually going to refresh us ultimately. I'm saying this for myself too. And I'm saying this for myself even as I admittedly I'm going to go watch some politics tonight. I can't help it. I can't. I always watch the Republican and Democratic National Conventions, both of them, because I just love the process. I'm going to watch it tonight. But may I not just make that what I carry with me as I end the night tonight? May I go back to the real good news, because that isn't the good news. What's the good news? Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I love that picture we come to at multiple points in Revelation. That God's going to wipe away our tears. That God is going to heal us. That as we trust in Jesus, he is going to make things right. Do we want good news? Do we want a world that is made right again? Do we want a world that is what it ought to be? Do we want to see the right side win? Right here. God's going to win. The only king, the only ruler, the only leader who's actually both completely good news and completely filled with integrity, Jesus is going to return. He's going to make things right. He's going to wipe away our tears if we trust in him. I always come to that promise in Revelation. We had several memorial services. I mentioned that as a church family, we had several memorial services that were looming large over our church family this weekend. And as I thought about that, I came right back to this, as I always do in those times. I promise that God's going to wipe away our tears. We may have tears right now, but God is going to wipe those away. Are we thirsty right now? Do we know people who are thirsty? We can't get them to vote for the right person and cure that thirst. we can't go and get the right job and take away that thirst. We can't achieve certain things academically or in our communities and wipe and eliminate that thirst. It doesn't matter if the pool in your community at your park is open or closed. That's not going to cure the need that we have. You can't drill the deepest of wells and get the right water and eliminate the true thirst. No, we need living water, and we can only get that from our God. But here's the thing that we can know. If we can focus on that, and right now as we're being bombarded over the next few months with tons and tons of political news, I mean, you can't even get away from it if you're ignoring it because your phone keeps ringing with people promoting it. If we're trying to somehow stay afloat in the midst of all that, what can we do? We can keep focusing on Jesus. And yes, in the time that Solomon wrote this down, he didn't fully know what good news we needed. He knew that God was there and loving, and so he knew a hint of that good news, but we know so much more, and as we do, may we in this moment, as we're bombarded, and every moment to come, may we drown out the bad news of all the negativity and the hatred in this world, and hear the wonder of God's creation. As I listen to the creatures singing around me, I'm reminded that God made them. And the God that made them, and as they're trying to drown me out and doing a pretty decent job, if they do that, that's okay, because if I think about their creator, and I think about how much he loves you and he loves me, well, that's what I really need to focus on, and that's what you need to focus on. That's what we all need to focus on. And as Christians, may we be people who are constantly helping others focus on that as well. If you think about everything we've been talking about in Proverbs 25, it's really about caring about other people, serving other people. If we want to start doing that today, let's help people hear the reassurance they really need. If there's a God out there that wants to wipe away their tears, that he will. Will you pray with me, please? Father, it's so hard with everything going on in this world to keep focused on what's truly good. Would you help us to? Would you help us to turn more and more to you? Would you help us to not dwell in the poisonous bad news around us? It doesn't mean we have to have our heads in the sand. It doesn't mean that we can't know what's going on. But Lord, would you help us not to stake our hope in that? Because it will let us down. Would you help us instead to be people who keep coming back to your good news and keep sharing your good news? And that when it comes to us speaking and putting our integrity on the line, may we do it only for you, not for those who constantly run after corruption, constantly make promises they can't keep, but may we run after the only one who always keeps his promises and always is loving and always is faithful. And that is you, our God. We pray this in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Hope this was encouraging to you today. And if it was, but you're wrestling, you're trying to figure out how to deal with the bad news in your life, and sometimes we can't avoid it, right? There might be something medical going on in your life right now. There might be someone, a loved one, who's on the verge of dying right now. There might be uncertainty at your work, all kinds of different things. And you're saying, it's great that you're saying we need to focus on Jesus and good news, but right now I can't focus on anything else. I'm drowning, Tim. We would love to walk through you. Walk with you through that. Not walk through you. That'd be a bad idea. That would be bad news. Walk through that with you. And as we do, all the barking and yapping of life, all the pain and struggles that we face, we can't always perfectly focus on Jesus, but together we can strengthen each other and encourage each other and remind each other that there is indeed hope. And so I hope that maybe you'll take advantage of the line that you see on screen. You can call us at 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. And be encouraged. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. We're all in those times. We all need that encouragement. But our God is with us, and we're with you as a church. You can also leave a message in the comments below, and we can talk about things together there. That's always a great idea, too. It's just great to hear from you and to study God's Word with you. Speaking of studying God's Word, we have concluded Proverbs 25. We looked at the very end of it earlier. It grouped with some of our other verses. So as we come to the end of Proverbs 25, what are we going to do next? We are going to look at James chapter 1. I can't wait to dig into that with you. It's a rich, beautiful chapter of the book of James. Sometimes we kind of forget that James is there and we get focused on other books. I'm excited to dig into it with you, and we're starting that next week as we think of the God who provides all gifts to us, the God who cares about us through everything we face. And I hope that you'll join me for that starting next week. Have a wonderful and blessed week. I hope your week goes swimmingly, and I'll see you again very soon.